Hundred and Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hundred and Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hundredandhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Several senators from both sides of the aisle are calling on the White House to change its policy when it comes to Afghanistan. Here's more from Sharon Reed.
Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and David Perdue of Georgia spent their 4th of July in Afghanistan. Graham says he's coming home with a message for the White House.
One thing I will tell him after this visit, you need to pull all of our troops out because 8,600 will not get the job done or add to their numbers.
The bipartisan group of visiting senators also included Democrats Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts and Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island.
Also on the trip, Republican John McCain, who says we need a long-term commitment.
Now, when I say that, everybody gets excited. Look, we've had troops in Korea since the end of the Korean War. We've had troops in Japan since the end of World War II.
President Trump has left for his European trip. His first stop will be Poland. This is USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
A new national survey finds 6 in 10 Americans like President Trump's travel ban.
The Politico Morning Consult poll out today shows that 60% of people surveyed support the State Department's new guidelines that say people applying for visas from 6 Muslim-majority countries need to prove a close family relationship with a U.S. resident before they can enter the country. 84% of Republicans support the ban, while 9% are opposed to it. Democrats are closely split on the issue, with 41% in support and 46% opposed.
That's Joe Gomez reporting. Mazda's issued a recall for more than 250,000 of its cars because of a possible problem with the parking brake. It affects the 2014 and 2015 Mazda 6 and the 2014 and 2016 Mazda 3. In other carmaker news, Volvo's announced all of its models will be either hybrid or electric beginning in 2019, as in it will offer no more gasoline-only engines. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's the scoop on garden soil. Sometimes it needs a little help from the Home Depot, where bags of Miracle-Gro garden soil are a special buy, 4 for just $10. It improves existing soil with nutrients plants need for stronger roots, so they'll hit the ground running, starting with much better ground. Miracle-Gro garden soil, 4 bags, $10. Now at the number one retailer for Scott's Miracle-Gro, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 5th while supplies last. Contiguous U.S. only. Limit 80 per customer.
A Canadian man who spent 10 years at Guantanamo Bay for attacking U.S. troops in Afghanistan is getting over $10 million from the Canadian government. Reports are Omar Khadr sued Canada for not protecting its citizen and allegedly conspiring with his U.S. captors. He admitted to throwing a grenade that killed a U.S. soldier, but he says he was 15 years old at the time and that his U.S. captors then abused him at Gitmo. He'll reportedly get over $10 million and an apology from the Canadian government. A marathon hockey game ends after a record-setting 11 days. Mark Mayfield has that story.
The 11-day power play came to an end Monday morning in Buffalo, New York, after raising more than $1 million for cancer research. Event founder Mike Lesikowski came up with the idea for the event after his wife died of cancer at the age of 35. The game began at 9 p.m. on June the 22nd and wrapped up Monday at 8 a.m. For the record, the final score was 1,492 to 1,477.
And a Utah group claims credit now for making and hanging the largest American flag ever flown in the United States. And Army Lieutenant Trevor Barton said the unfurling of that flag yesterday in Utah County's Grove Creek Canyon was an incredible moment.
It just reminded me of the times that I've seen our flag deployed downrange.
The flag's 78 feet wide, 150 feet long. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes. Force of their own, as American and South Korean military forces fired their own missiles into the Sea of Japan hours ago. President Trump will be sitting down with Russian President Vladimir Putin for an official two-way meeting on Friday. The White House and Kremlin both confirming that meeting now. Trump and Putin will meet on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany. Remember, you can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Nothing grows like weeds, except maybe wheat. And nothing kills them quite like Roundup Weed and Grass Killer from the Home Depot. Right now, the one-gallon ready-to-use size is a special buy at just $8.97. Roundup kills fast. At the root, you can see results in just 3 hours. They may grow like weeds, but you can stop them even faster. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer, 1 gallon ready-to-use, now just $8.97, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 5th.
41 states have turned down President Trump's request to hand over private voter information to investigate alleged voter fraud. The request mailed to all 50 states and Washington, D.C. last week, coming months after the president did claim that millions had voted illegally in the 2016 presidential election.
By an illegal immigrant who had been deported and returned.
Defamation over an editorial connecting her political action committee to the...
We can expect a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms later this afternoon. And tonight will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming clear with a low of 53. Well, that actually looked like Tuesday's. It says this afternoon, and then it says Wednesday, sunny with a high near 80. So it's not reading, it's not coming up on the computer correctly. However, I will say today will be sunny. With a high near 80. Tonight will be partly cloudy. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 86 and a chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight on Thursday. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 89. Friday night, partly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms on Saturday. And Sunday also looks like will be chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. Also, it is going to be a holiday weekend, so please drive safely and soberly.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I am also a licensed professional counselor, and I have a small private practice here in Flemington. I have been doing Counselor's Chat for, I don't know, 4.5 years now, I guess, approximately, and my main goal is to educate the public on mental health issues, also educate the public on what a licensed professional counselor does, and to also remove the stigma for looking into getting some counseling if you have some issues that are going on in your own life. So June happens to be National Suicide Prevention Month, and as a counselor, one of the things that I do is I work with people who are struggling with suicidal thoughts and who also have some tendencies towards being suicidal. And I also have a guest with me today. His name is Stephen Roll. He also has his master's in counseling. He is also nationally certified as a counselor, and he is a licensed associate counselor in New Jersey. And he works with the VA. And if you think there's a similarity in our last names, that's because he is my husband. Welcome, Steve.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So one of the reasons that I invited Steve, not only because he's a counselor and because he's my husband and because I think he's a very interesting person, I also invited him because he works for the VA. One of the things that he does, one of the main things is he does outreach, meaning he's looking to get veterans who are struggling with issues of post-traumatic stress and suicide issues, addiction, those kinds of things, to get them into counseling and to the counseling centers that the VA has set up. So, Steve, maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and where you work and about the VA, what this counseling center thing is.
Sure, absolutely. Like you said, I am a licensed associate counselor in the state of New Jersey. I got my master's a couple of years ago in counseling and have been working for the VA for about 7 years now, so 5 years prior to that I was working for the VA. As you mentioned, I do outreach. Part of that is what we're doing here today. I go around and essentially promote the VA, the mental health aspect of the VA primarily. We do benefits, but we don't really concentrate on that. What I do is I work in what's called a vet center, and a vet center falls under the category of the Readjustment Counseling Service, which is part of the Veterans Health Administration in the Department of Veterans Affairs. That's a mouthful. It is a government agency, of course, so we specialize in mouthfuls. And what vet centers do primarily is we provide counseling for war zone veterans and their families, as well as anyone who's experienced military sexual trauma while serving in the military. And that could be anything from just unwanted touching or advances, all the way on up through full-blown rape. So it's anything that's reported or not. It doesn't matter. So what I try to do is I go to different venues and I talk about what we do. It's twofold. One is to get veterans in the door for counseling, and the other part of it is just to let other what we call stakeholders know about what's available in the VA and what counseling is all about. I'm trying to remove the stigma, like you do.
Okay, and it's not a hospital. It's an actual counseling center. I mean, I've been there.
Right.
So you walk in. There's a receptionist.
Right.
There's counseling offices.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have that medical
Right.
Like I'm going to the hospital.
Right. We are completely non-medical. It's a what we call it. It's a community-based outpatient clinic, is what we do, or is what it is. Outpatient mental health clinic. We are based in towns. A lot of vet centers are storefronts. In other words, they'd be in a strip mall or some sort of a shopping mall. Ours happens to be in an office building. A couple, many that I know of are in office buildings, and that's who we are. We're not. We have no psychiatrists on staff. We don't do anything medical. There's no drugs, no anything like that. Strictly talk therapy. Most of what we see is post-traumatic stress. However, that is not a requirement. Anyone who's just having, like the name implies, we do readjustment counseling. Anyone who's having difficulty readjusting to civilian life from the military, whether they've been out for a month or whether they've been out for 50 years, doesn't matter. Our services, our eligibility has no expiration. So at any time, someone can come in. Most of our, actually about half our clients right now are Vietnam veterans.
Do you work with families also?
We do work with families. Families, children, as long as they're old enough to be able to express their feelings. Anywhere from 3-4 on up. Families, individuals, couples, groups. We have a couple of different group sessions. One is mostly Vietnam. The other is a mixed bag of Vietnam and current Iraq, Afghanistan, Gulf War, what have you.
So one of the reasons that I have you here is to talk about suicide, and I guess what I'm interested in is what are some of the statistics around suicide in the military?
Well, everybody knows the 22 a day statistic. It's a little less than that, but any suicide any suicide of a veteran is one too many. So we do an intake screening when someone comes in to measure what we call lethality, whether they express any suicidal or homicidal tendencies, and we'll rate them based on that as part of their intake, and go from there as far as counseling is concerned. Now, there are also resources available both in the general public and in for veterans. The Veterans Crisis Line is one thing that I can think of off the top of my head. All 911, of course, but the Veterans Crisis Line is basically a chat line. Anyone who is feeling stressed, overwhelmed, possibly having suicidal ideation, just really needs somebody to talk to 24/7, 365. This is an organization that you can speak to. You can do chat online, or you can do chat by text. I can give you those numbers. If we have time before a break, or
you can even give them right now. That's,
yeah, okay,
that's fine.
Yeah, well, the Veterans Crisis Line number. Now, this is a general suicide prevention hotline number. Is 1-800-273-8255. And as I said, that number is the general suicide prevention number. That's run by the government. It's SAMHSA, the Health Services Administration. And for veterans, you would dial that number and then you would press 1. So they'll get you to a veteran-specific chat. Otherwise, the email address or the website is veteranscrisisline.net, or you can text 838-255, and you can do a chat by text. Okay. So you can do chat online, chat by text, or by phone.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a little commercial break, and we will be right back with Steve Roll and talk a little bit more about some of the I'm going to say more intricacies around suicide as it pertains to the military and as it pertains to the general population also. So we will be back with Counselor's Chat in just a few moments.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. And I have a special guest with me today, Steve Roll, who's also my husband. And as he was saying, he works with with veterans, post-traumatic stress, suicide prevention, and readjustment.
Readjustment counseling.
Readjustment just counseling.
General counseling, really.
Okay.
Anything from need somebody to talk to on through depression, anxiety, to full-blown post-traumatic stress or anything in between, really is what we do.
So suicide, we hear these statistics about, veterans really struggling
right.
with that and,
right.
and a lot of veterans committing suicide.
Right.
What do you think is the cause of that?
It's a very complicated problem, really. Veteran suicide. It's a question of readjustment, which is why we do what we do. In many cases, I have my own theories, which have not really been tested out by empirically. But I believe that there's some connection between an inability to actually be fully present on the battlefield, what with our current means of continuous communication, if you will, cell phones and Skype and FaceTime and all these different things where you're not really, you guys kind of get whipsawed back and forth between home and the field, and I think that's unsettling for some guys. But also on when they return home, things, they're very, the resiliency factors. I mean, some of the resiliency factors that are there for post-traumatic stress are very similar to those that would be there to determine whether somebody becomes suicidal or not. Strong family connections for one, gender for two, what they've seen, how accepting their family is when they come back, and you know what their experiences are upon return. So there are a lot of factors in there. It's not like veterans need to be treated with kid gloves, because they absolutely don't. Many will resent that. However, that said, there needs to be, and there is developing, a certain sensitivity towards what a battlefield veteran has seen and experienced, and how that is affecting them. And they need time to readjust to life outside the military, to life in the slow lane, as it were, because they've been on a heightened schedule. If they've been deployed for any period of time, they've been on a very heightened schedule and a heightened sensitivity and awareness for an extended period of time. I mean, they've been going essentially 24/7. Obviously, they're not on patrol 24/7. They're not working 24/7. But their minds are going 24/7, even when they're asleep, because you're never in a war zone. You're never entirely secure in where you are. It's always subject to incoming fire, and so you stay on edge, and that edge follows you home. If that edge doesn't go away, it can eat away at you, and eventually. You can become suicidal.
So you're saying that there's a connection between post-traumatic stress and some of the higher rates of suicide.
I think there can be. Yeah, I think there can be. I think the two can be related. I don't know if I would say there's a causality necessarily, but I would say that some of the same stressors that lead to a post-traumatic stress situation can also lead one to suicide. When you have something like this, like a post-traumatic stress disorder, and you have these feelings, and it just continues and continues and continues, and you feel hopelessness, and you feel lost, and you don't really have anyone to speak to.
Depression and anxiety are part of it.
Depression and anxiety are definitely part of post-traumatic stress, as well as suicidality. So, they do go hand in hand. Like I said, I'm not going to say that one is necessarily is causal to the other. But I think they are interrelated, absolutely.
So, you know, as we know, suicide, of course, is not related only to people in the military. People, sadly, struggle with suicidal ideation, which... really what that term means. I mean, it's more the technical term, but in other words, people who think about it. And not all people who think about suicide are going to commit suicide. I know that in working with my own clients, you know, sometimes they talk about wanting to end it, but I know it's really based on the amount of emotional pain that they're in. But there are some really important warning signs. So, yes, you know, saying I wish I wasn't here, saying I'm thinking about killing myself, an increased use of drugs and alcohol,
right,
can be an indicator, especially when it goes along with, I really feel like I don't want to be here anymore. Sometimes aggressive behavior can be an indication. Mm-hmm. But definitely when you have social withdrawal from friends and family, sometimes there's tying up loose ends. You know, I'm going to be giving away my favorite chess set to my brother, you know, those kinds of things. And it's, you know, of course, depression, getting quiet, dramatic mood swings, and even sometimes a sense of peace.
Right.
And I think that's because they've decided, you know what, the pain's going to be over soon, and I'm going to be peaceful now.
Right.
Also, you know, it's important to be careful for somebody who's always talking about, writing about, or thinking about death, and someone who may have impulsive or a reckless behavior. I know for myself, when I work with someone and they're talking, you know, even if they say, I feel like I want to end it, I always ask them if they have a plan. I always delve into it deeper. I guess what I'm wondering, does the VA have any particular, and you may or may not know this because you don't do the direct work with clients, but do they have a form or a questionnaire or anything that they might use, any tests they might give that might give them an indication?
Well, that's all part of the intake and the questions that are asked. There are questions on our intakes that are asked about whether you feel suicidal or homicidal, if you have had these thoughts, if you have plans, if it's warranted. We don't do this all the time. If it's warranted, we use things like the Beck Depression Inventory to gauge for levels of depression. And other, you know, VA specific, you know, veteran specific forms and tests, but the Beck index is one of the premier depression indexes are out there. I had a thought and lost it. It's all part and parcel of the intake. And of course, that's why it's always better to do an intake and do counseling face to face, because a big part of the counseling relationship is the actual relationship part between the counselor and the therapist and the client. Face to face, you get a much better sense of body language, of eye contact, of all sorts of things like that that are visible clues and not necessarily, you know, they're unspoken. They're subtle cues that you can pick up from a client.
So I'm going to take another short little commercial break, and we're going to be back and talk a little bit more about what the VA does and suicide and suicide prevention. I think it's a really important topic because most of us take it for granted. As counselors, it's something that we cannot take for granted.
Right.
And it's really important for those of you that are listening to know that it's not just even for yourself. You may be having thoughts, but if you know someone, family member or friend, it's really important to pay attention and take it seriously.
Listening is really what they need the most.
Yes. So I will. We will be back with Counselor's Chat in just a few moments.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
So we are back with Counselor's Chat. Again, I am Ruth Altamirrol, your host for today's program, also a licensed professional counselor. And I have my own private practice here in Flemington. If anyone is interested in finding out a little bit more about what I do, you can find me on the web at www.altarolcounselor.net. That's Altarol with two L's, counselor, O-R, .net. And I am here with Steve Roll, who is also my husband, but also has his master's in counseling and works for the VA. And we are talking about suicide prevention, mainly around veterans, but with everyone.
Sure.
And there are some other things that you might want to add about suicide.
Sure. Well, let's talk about some of the risk factors.
Okay.
About suicide and what to look for. It's found that about 90% of people who actually have suicide, die by suicide or complete suicide, as we say, have experienced some form of mental illness, whether that's depression or extreme anxiety or post-traumatic stress or what have you. There's a few other things that that can put a person at risk. One is a family history of suicide. So if you've had a relative that's committed suicide or that's completed suicide, that's a risk factor because it's an experience that's been had by the family. Substance abuse, any kind of drug or alcohol misuse can be a risk factor for suicide, whether intentional or unintentional. General intoxication, about 30% of the people who die from suicide have been under the influence of some intoxicant. Access to firearms, it's a fine line with Second Amendment rights and access to firearms. But access to firearms having a weapon in the home especially if
you are suicidal.
If you're right, or,
right.
Or having or experiencing depression,
right.
Or major depression, having a weapon, it's a means to the end, as it were. Any kind of a serious or a chronic medical illness, again, like post-traumatic stress, can be serious. Any kind of other...
I think a good example recently is the comedian
Robin Williams. Right.
Right. Because he got diagnosed with Parkinson's or something, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not the first, and he certainly won't be the last.
No.
So incurable brain cancer or something like that, it gives you, I'm going to die on my own terms, basically.
Right.
Gender. More women than men will attempt suicide, but more men than women will complete suicide.
And I think that's probably because of the choices that men make for suicide. The method, I'm going to say,
yes.
Versus women. Women will take pills, mm-hmm. So that it takes longer for that to react in their system.
Right.
They may throw it up and then end up at the hospital, have their stomach pumped. Or they may cut their wrists. That tends to be more of the thing that a woman will do,
mm-hmm.
Than a man. Men tend to shoot themselves, hang themselves. That tends to be, they tend to choose a little bit, well, I don't know, slitting wrists. It's all violent.
It's a more aggressive form of right. suicide than, right. So there's that. A history of trauma or abuse, again, and then hand in hand with that would be is prolonged stress. So these two are also factors in post-traumatic stress, which is not necessarily just a military thing. Anyone who's experienced any kind of situation with any kind of a trauma
right.
will can develop post-traumatic stress depending on a series of
and I do say that when I do talk about trauma here, I do say that we think that that post-traumatic stress is something strictly related right. to people who have been in the military, because
yeah.
that's what's on the television and the
right.
commercials, and that's
time.
What we hear all the time. But if you grew up in a family where there was violence, where you've been incested, if you've been raped, if you was in a violent car accident, if you happen to be one of those very, very few people that get stuck on the top of the Ferris wheel when it breaks and it's a traumatic experience for you, I tell you, that can, I've worked with clients who have done things like, they've choked on a piece of food when they were a kid. And as a consequence, as an adult, they're not exactly sure why, but experience claustrophobia, and they feel like they can't swallow, and
they can't breathe,
and panic attack, and it's really related to some of these types of issues.
Sure, absolutely. Another thing would be another risk factor for suicide is isolation. And isolation doesn't necessarily mean being alone from time to time. Isolation is where you have completely cut yourself off from family, friends, connections.
More like agoraphobia.
It's about
possibly.
It's about connect. Could be an extreme form of agoraphobia. Sure, agoraphobia being a fear of open places. For those who don't know what agoraphobia is a fear of being exposed, basically of being outside or being. Out of a closed space is sort of the opposite of claustrophobia. Is agoraphobia, where you feel threats from everywhere, and so isolation. People and that is one of the things that we've mentioned before is people who will start to isolate themselves, who begin to cut themselves off from family relations, begin to cut themselves off from friendships and any kind of human contact. Are beginning to isolate, and this is someone that it's very important that anyone who is a friend or a relative of someone who you sense might be isolating like that to reach out to them, because that's what they need. They need the connections. Age, under 24, over 65. Are at risk for suicide. Under 24, basically, you haven't fully developed that part of the brain that says, I'm vulnerable.
Right.
It's,
death can happen to me.
No, I'm not going to die.
Right.
Or even if I die, I'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
Kind of thing. But that sounds bizarre to a lot of people, but that's kind of a mindset. Any kind of a recent tragedy or loss, you begin to develop a sense of hopelessness.
Right.
It's devastating.
And I think, you just made a really good point, that sense of hopelessness.
Right.
And so... One of the things that I can say in terms of my own work with people who are feeling suicidal is to help them gain a sense of hope, not think so much about the future, to practice mindfulness and being in the present right. moment, looking at aspects of gratitude,
mm-hmm.
And making a gratitude list, things that they appreciate in life, And I say to them, it could be really, really simple things. I've had clients where I say, I want you to come up with 5 things that you even like about yourself. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, that's impossible.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. Come up with one. What's one thing? Well, I don't know. I like my eyes. Okay, that's one thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like that I'm a hard worker. I'm like, okay, well, now you got two things. And, mm-hmm. you know, by the time they're ready to leave the office, they've come up with five things.
Sure.
Because the thing is, it's not that it's not there. They don't think about it. They just think about the negative stuff.
Right. It's using a strength-based
right.
counseling versus versus deficit counseling.
Right.
It's a positive counseling versus a deficit counseling.
Right.
What do you have versus what don't you have?
Right, exactly.
That's important for suicide, for counseling potential suicides. And lastly, you'd be any kind of agitation or sleep deprivation, because as we know, that any sleep deprivation leads to all sorts of both mental and physical aspects. And my wife's giving me the stink eye over here because I don't get it, because I don't get enough sleep. That's true. But I'm not suicidal.
No, but I'm going to kill you. No. I'm not going to do this.
But seriously, though, sleep deprivation is very, and in this society in which we live right now, where we have a 24/7, 365 opportunities for, you know, communication and entertainment and what have you, it's ironic that with a 24/7 opportunity or availability of communications, we are feeling as a society increasingly more isolated, and that is because this interactions that we have are primarily technology based. They are not personal, and human beings are meant to be, perhaps to have personal connections, to be in each other's company. We're tribal.
Yep. We're social beings.
Tribal. We're social animals. We're social creatures.
Yep. I say that all the time. That's why we live in families and towns, and, you know, we're better when we're in groups. So we're going to take another little commercial break and then come and talk a little bit more about this topic of suicide and all these other fun, bright things that we're talking about on this gorgeous day, summer day. We will be right back with Counselor's Chat.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
So welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirol, your host for today's program. I'm a licensed professional counselor. I have my master's in counseling. I am licensed through New Jersey, and I am also nationally certified as a counselor. And as I said earlier, I have a private practice here in town. If anyone is interested in finding out about more of what I do, which includes things like depression and anxiety, I also do post-traumatic stress disorder, addictions. Work a lot with people with addictions or who have addictions in their family, adult children of alcoholics, codependency, those kinds of things, grief and loss, anger management. So there's many things, couples counseling. So if you are interested, please go to the web and do a little more research on what I do. It's Altarol Counselor, www.altarolcounselor.net. That's Altarol with O-L-L, counselor, O-R. You can also call me, 937-2899. That's 237-2899. If you'd like to make an appointment, if you would like to leave a comment about Counselor's Chat, if you would like to make a suggestion for a show, love to hear from you. Also, you can follow me on Counselor's Chat at Facebook, so please go on Facebook and do that also. So I have my guest with me today. It's not very often that I have a guest, but we are here together, Steve Roll, who also has his master's in counseling, works for the VA, and we're talking about suicide prevention, specifically around veterans, but in general, because it is not something that's specific to veterans, just like post-traumatic stress is not specific to veterans. So we were talking about some of the symptoms and the fact that the VA offers counseling centers.
Right.
Maybe you can give a little bit more information again about if someone wants to get in touch with a counseling center or where there might be a few located here in New Jersey or even in eastern Pennsylvania.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, as we mentioned earlier, I work for the Vet Center program in the VA. Vet centers are counseling centers for war zone veterans and their families. And so we do individual and group counseling, also family, couples, marriage counseling. We can see children, anything related to the issues that the veteran themselves is going through. There are several locations in the general area. The closest one to Hunterdon County would be in Ewing on Parkway Avenue. It's the Trenton Vet Center in New Jersey. My office, my particular office, is in Bristol, Pennsylvania, which is Lower Bucks County. We also have two offices in Philadelphia itself, one out in Montgomery County, and then there are four other offices here in New Jersey. They're not that close to here, though. We have Secaucus, Bloomfield, Lakewood, and Ventnor. So those are Ewing, Ventnor, Lakewood, Secaucus, and Bloomfield are the five vet centers in New Jersey. Our four centers in the Philadelphia area would be the next closest, and then there's probably there's 15 centers total in Pennsylvania, but further out.
And I have to say, the VA in the news often gets a bad rap, right. Which is unfortunate, and there are some problems for sure. But I really commend them for opening up all of these counseling centers because they're so necessary. As you know, and your experience has been that, somebody says, okay, your time is up here in the military. You think you're going to be okay. Okay, buddy, have a good life and they send you on your way. And that's basically readjustment, and so the fact that just opening the door and letting someone back out on the street, which sounds kind of bad, really doesn't necessarily prepare them, right. And
Well, the military has what they call a TAPS program, mm-hmm. and that's a transition assistance program.
Okay.
And what they do is when guys come back from deployment, before they get out, they will have a certain amount of time, a day or a couple of days, and they'll go through all these different classes. But in some instances that I've heard, the guys will come in, they'll meet their families on the tarmac for the plane, and then they have their greet, their meet and greet and all this, and then they are immediately marched off to a debriefing room. And in some cases, it's a room with a glass partition, and they can actually see their families on the other side of the partition. And so while they're going through all this stuff, the VA can do this for you and that for you, and you file a claim and this and that, they're not paying any attention whatsoever because their families, is 40 feet away from them,
right.
And they can see them waiting there for them. And it's like, my head is not listening to what this major is saying. My head is, I'm looking at my wife or my husband or my kids or whatever.
Right, right.
And so they're not paying attention.
Right.
So,
If someone wants to get in touch with, if they're a military person, they're struggling with post-traumatic stress or even suicidal thoughts, mm-hmm. how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can get in touch with us. We have what's called our Vet Center Combat Call Center. Is 1-877-WAR-VETS is the phone number for that, 1-877-WARVETS. I don't have the number written out for that, unfortunately, but that's it.
That's
You can go to www.vetcenter.va.gov, G-O-V, look for the closest center to you. As I said, to this area, the closest center would be the Trenton Vet Center in Ewing. Any kind of suicidal ideation or any kind of a crisis, emotional crisis, at any time of day or night, if you need to talk to somebody, you can call that number, that 877-WAR-VETS number, or you can call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, 1-800-273-8255. Veteran-specific counselor, you can press 1. That number, just the 800-273-8255 number, is also just a general crisis line, suicide prevention hotline number. So anyone who's experiencing any kind of a crisis can speak to them. Also, they do counseling by text, so you can text them at 838-255. That's 838-255. Or even online chat at veteranscrisisline.net, www.veteranscrisisline.net. And that's a 24/7, 365 operation. They will stay on the phone as long as necessary, or keep in communication as long as necessary until the person on the other end is satisfied with what's or that both are satisfied that nothing's going to happen,
until help arrives.
Until help arrives, depending on the severity of the situation.
Right. In other words, I can call the helpline and say, I've just, taken pills.
Right.
Right. So there are other things, too, that I think it's important to be aware of. If you yourself or you have someone that you know, a friend or family member, if you know that they are in therapy and they're depressed or they're struggling with, and even show some signs that there may be some suicidal thoughts, it's important to have access to their therapist, their psychiatrist, or other health care provider. And generally speaking, in our own family, we go to the same doctor and that kind of thing. So, that's generally what happens in families. But it's important to have that information accessible. Also, know your local crisis number. And you can find that by going on the internet and searching for mental health crisis services and put in your county name and the phone number should come up. And of course, 911 is always helpful. There is, you can always do a walk-in at a hospital if you're feeling suicidal. So you just go right into a walk-in crisis center or emergency room and to let them know that you're feeling suicidal, or bring your whoever, say my friend here is feeling really suicidal. There is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and that number is 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. It's really important to know what the triggers are, to know if there's a history of drug use, alcohol use, if there's a history of suicide within the family. All of these things are really important to know. Again, as Steve said, you know, if there's a family member that is showing some signs, has some mental health issues, struggling with depression, and has a really nice gun collection, you know, it's just really thinking things through a little bit, and prevention is a huge, and awareness is a huge resource. So we've actually reached the end of our show for today, and Steve, I really want to thank you. You've been a pleasant